As you know, we have a cycle of gospel readings, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And for this first Sunday of Lent, the church always reads from one of those three gospels the account of our Lord's temptation. There's a reason for that. Because Lent is the beginning of purification. And Satan hates purification. Satan hates anybody drawing near to God. And so, we will be tempted. Now, I'll come return to our Lord's three temptations because they are the three temptations of the church. And they are the three temptations of every person in the church. But I want to look at some of the themes in this cycle C that lead up to that. The first is in the book of Deuteronomy. What we have here is a very old credo, a creed, in which the person makes a confession. And you'll notice it's all what God has done. It's not theory, it's not an idea, it's action. So the priest takes this basket from the person, it's harvest time, he's brought the first fruits, the word of God tells this person, now, you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean. He went down to Egypt with a small household, and there he lived as an alien, that is, with no rights. But there he became a nation, great, strong, and numerous. When the Egyptians maltreated us and oppressed us, imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and he heard our cry, and he saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. This is an act of faith. This is a credo. He brought us out of Egypt with his strong hand and outstretched arm, with terrifying power, with signs and wonders, and bringing us into this country, he gave us this land, flowing with milk and honey. And now, at this harvest time, 10, 20, 100, 500 years later, at this harvest time, I bring you the first fruits of the products of this soil which God has given to us, which you, O Lord, have given to me. And having set them before the Lord your God, you shall bow down in his presence. It would be nice if these early days of Lent you were to write out your own credo. My father was, my mother was, I was, and this is what God has done for me. And now I have come to lay my life down before the Lord and bow down in his presence. That's a creed. You notice it from Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy, in a way, is the book of early Lent, because it's the book of the desert. And then we have this psalm, which is a psalm of protection, huh? The one that's in our book. We sang the Miserere again, the Psalm 51, which is the theme song of Lent. Then we have this challenge to a life of faith in the reading of the Romans. Because you see, my friends, Lent is a time when we're supposed to be growing in faith. And if we're growing in faith, that means we're growing in understanding. We know more. And we understand more. Because we respond more to the Lord. What does Scripture say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. This too is a Deuteronomy phrase. That is this word of faith that we preach. Now, if you confess with your mouth, that means if you're willing to stand up and profess that Jesus Christ is Lord, not in the safety of this little room here, but out on the street, at work, anywhere, and not in an obnoxious way, but in a clear, confident, peaceful, supernatural way, Jesus is Lord. And if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And saved means you will be with God forever, body and soul, kept alive by the very Trinitarian life itself. That's what saved means, particularly in Paul, but in most of the New Testament. And he's going to here make a very nice distinction in just a moment. For one believes with the heart, and so is justified. In your inner being, you allow that witness of the Holy Spirit to make an impact on you, and you accept it. That's a tremendous death to self, if it's real. It means you lose your autonomy, because now I'm saying God Almighty has come to save us in His own Son, who is equal to Him forever. So my whole life has got to be different. And I'm no longer the center of my life. That's what it means to believe with your heart. It's a deep thing where I move out of the center of my life and Jesus Christ, the Savior, is there. If you do that, you're justified. Because that's the first act of faith, right? And we're justified, you know, by the grace of Christ through faith. Okay. And one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. Because if saved means that the whole person comes into God, then your mouth, which is your person, is the way you commit yourself. Do you believe? Yes or no? You see? And it makes a difference what you say. It'll make a difference for eternity what you say. And if your whole body then, not just your mouth, if your whole body begins to confess, you see, that He is Lord, then you're saved. This is a very important notion, you see. Because people go, I believe, I believe, I believe. Oh, you're saved, brother. You are not until you believe in your heart and your life changes. And that means a work of the Holy Spirit that is so precious. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's not hard, but it's radical. And now we come to His introduction to Lent. Jesus has just been baptized. That means He has entered into His vocation. He has accepted the call of the Father on His life to be the servant of God. He's committed Himself to it. By being baptized, He has accepted, as John the Baptist had preached, if you come here to be baptized, it's because you accept your vocation as a child of Israel. And so He says, I accept my vocation as a child of Israel to be the servant of God. And then the Father proclaims Him His Son, and the Spirit descends on Him and drives Him, Mark says, leads Him, Luke says, out into the desert, Mark says, to be tempted by Satan. He says, to be tempted by the devil. So He's going out looking for a fight. He's going out to take on Satan. The church does that every day, my brothers and sisters, every day. We're called to. Some great heroes, some of the early monks of the desert, went out to the desert looking for a fight to overcome Satan, drive him away for the sake of their brethren. And some of them suffered mightily, but they overcame. So Jesus went out into the desert. And now He's going to be 40 days there, as His people were 40 years. And again, all His answers come from the book of Deuteronomy. He's hungry. So Satan goes after Him, huh? The concupiscence of the flesh. But there's more. You turn these stones into bread, and the whole world will follow you. You want a following? You got something to say? Change these stones into bread and they'll follow you to the moon. You can teach them anything you want. What's the problem with it? A, it's a lie. It's a lie. And it comes from hatred. And it's trying to find out, if you are the Son of God, do this. And it is a temptation. And a temptation means to be a Messiah in a way not willed by the Father. this is the great temptation of the church and everybody in the church. I know what your will is, Lord, but I'm going to do it another way and you'll love it. He won't. Obedience is a phrase going around which describes our age perfectly. This is the age of disobedience. Are we going to be challenged then? You better believe it. We have entered into Lent not only for ourselves, but for the whole world, the billions and billions of people. Don't be surprised if it's tough. Just know that the Lord is with you. There will be some pretty tough battles this Lent, because the end is going to be particularly glorious. Be alert. You might be strongly tempted by Satan to rage, to anger, to lust, to pride, to vengefulness. Or you might be subtly tempted by a devil. Take it easy. You've worked hard enough. You know, that's a good enough fast. You don't have to get out of bed and pray. You're tired. You've been working hard. Who do you think's telling you that? I said, this is a personal story. It strikes me funny. I'm going to tell it to you. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. The Lord woke me up. I was tired. I said to the Lord, I was so tired, I was confused. I said, you know, Lord, this could be a demonic illusion. I said this to the Lord. And he said, no, it's not. It's me. I said, okay. But you see, oh, you're tired, poor thing. Of course you're tired, poor thing. Now get out of bed and save the world. We have a lot of mystics in this new age, in the new age, but it's a mysticism in the jacuzzi. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. And so, be ready. And be ready with the brethren to help them, to be helped by them, to pray. This is not just, you know, wear a different color robe and have different prayers at the Mass and everything business as usual. That's not Lent. The whole body of Christ is being led by the Spirit into the desert. And we will be tempted. Now, how are we tempted? You see, first, to be, have a vocation, to live our vocation in a way different than that willed by the Father. What do you want of me this day, this life, my Lord? I only want your will. That's hard. The Holy Spirit is there to help us and strengthen us as he helped and strengthened Jesus. It would tax our spirit to have any idea of the intensity and the power of this conflict. You know, it's like never having been in a fight yourself, you're watching the heavyweight championship of the world. You really don't know what's going on there. Any one of those punches would kill us. And there they are. And here's Satan tempting the Son of God, who has willed to be so weak that he's in the desert, hungry and vulnerable and strong. One does not live on bread alone. So then he took him up to the kingdoms, to the top of this mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, you know, they're all mine. And in a sense, that's all true. As any good liar, he knows how to give you half the truth. They're all mine. You worship me and I'll give them to you. You want to save the world? I'll give it to you right now. You won't have to go through all that trouble. Think of the pull that our Lord allowed himself to feel through this filthy liar. You can do it another way. There's easier ways. Or there's more dramatic ways. Man, you jump off that Empire State Building and you don't hit the ground in a splat. That'll be impressive. You can tell people whatever you want. But it will make no difference. Whereas, if you're faithful, if you pray, my friends, prayer is the key. That's our desert. Prayer is the key. Fight for it. Fight for it. Beg the Holy Spirit that you can double whatever time you give to prayer usually. If you give 1 minute, try 2. If you give 15 minutes, try a half hour. This, I'm telling you, this is a Lent in which we are meant to carry those who don't know God to bring them to the glory of the resurrection. And Jesus answers again from Deuteronomy, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him alone shall you serve. I will do the will of my Father. Try during these days to ask the Holy Spirit to give you a glimpse of the depth and the intensity of this struggle. And then he brought him up to the temple, and jump off if you want. Man, they'll be impressed. And you know, then he quotes scripture. He commanded his angels concerning you to guard you. I have been working with somebody who has been under such ferocious attack. And all of it is lie. Lie. Over and over and over again. Lie. How smart are we? Bluntly, not very. But if we will pray, if we will be open, if we will get to confession, if we will take our life seriously, we are on the way to joy. Jesus answers him. It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. That's the famous incident when Moses tempted God before that rock in the desert and lost the chance to enter the promised land. Don't try that. If the Lord speaks to you, obey. Obey. Remember, we're not in this for ourselves. You know, one Saint Francis, he'd had enough of preaching. It's tough work. People don't like it. They tell you they don't like it. It gets pretty tough. He went up to the top of Mount Alvernia to pray, and he stayed there a couple of months. It was great. And Claire, his close friend, sent him a message from her convent. And the message was, I have not called you for yourself, Francis. Come down from that mountain and preach. Care for my people. He says that to every one of us. Of course I love you. I love you uniquely, but I haven't called you just for yourself. I have a world of people out there behind you, and the more I can bring you to myself, the closer they will come to myself. I've baptized you. I've had you hear the word of God. I brought you to a community. I protected you. Why? Because I love you. And I want to give you the joy of turning around one day and seeing all those people whose lives have been changed and touched because you obeyed me. I think that's the message of Lent this year for us. And it's tough. But you know, everything is tough, right? Suppose you're starting a football game. And you know, they're favored by 14 points. Tough time. Some will wimp out, and some will play hard. Right? Let's not be like those who wimp out. Let's take this seriously. We are called to be praying and fasting and carrying this world. Yes, because we're overwhelmed by the love of Jesus for ourselves. We can hear His voice. We can catch a glimpse of Him. Our hearts have been touched and changed. And now, all we want to do is bring more and more people into this place of freedom, of peace, of sinlessness, not perfect. And that's the Lord's message to us, I think, as we start Lent. Don't be afraid. All the saints will tell you, starting with Teresa of Avila, you start to get serious about a life of prayer. You get out of bed on time. You want to, and what happens right away? Oh, I'm going to get sick. Oh, I'm going to get sick. Oh, it's going to be terrible. I'm going to get a bad cold. I won't go to work. Who's telling you that? I don't have to tell you who's telling you that. You know. Pay no attention. Pay no attention. So, then I'll be miserable for 40 days. So what? Think of what's happening. Think of the people that are being brought to Jesus Christ and how grateful He is to you and how He will overwhelm you. with an understanding of His love, it'll melt your heart. It's my love for you. Come to me and let me teach you. My love is deeper than the whole world's canyons. It is stronger than anything you know. It is more affectionate than the love of any friend. It is strong and stable beyond anything you can imagine. And it is tender and it is joyful. And I give it to you. I want to win your hearts over so that whatever is difficult becomes light. Whatever is dark becomes easy. Because I love you. And I want you to be one with me. Come, let us make the world safe for God's children.